Dr. Huberta Jackson-Lohman, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So why did you decide to start the Black Psychologist Convention?
Well, basically this provides an opportunity for Black psychologists throughout the world to come together to address the mental health needs, interests of our community, to examine our thinking in relationship to how we should address those mental health needs, to share research that we have undertaken addressing issues around Black mental health, and to affirm our commitment to addressing Black mental health issues.
What are some of the mental health issues that the Black community is suffering from, by and large?
Well, any number of issues. I mean, if we think about them in the typical kinds of ways that they are described in what is called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, you know, we suffer from things like depression and anxiety and mood disorders, schizophrenia, psychotic disorders. So we suffer the same range of disorders as you might find in other communities and amongst other groups of people. But in addition to that, we have been affected by over close to 500 years of being oppressed, which results in other kinds of conditions that affect us as a people of African ancestry. So we have some unique things that we struggle with as a result of the close to 500 years of oppression.
Right, that was what I was getting at. Specifically, what were the unique things that you would say that we are suffering from?
One of those things, as described by a social worker by the name of Joy DeGroy, she refers to as post-traumatic slave disorder or slave syndrome. And by that, what she is referring to is the impact of 500 years of oppression on our functioning as people of African ancestry. We've had this multi-generational oppression, and that has not ended. It continues. And that has affected us, as neuroscience is indicating, at the genetic level. It affects us behaviorally. It affects us in terms of our relationships with each other. It affects us in terms of our ability to fulfill our potential, both individually and collectively. So there are a lot of different qualities or characteristics that are associated with that. Some of the things that might be a result of this include just the sense of hopelessness that sometimes we may see in our communities, along with things that one of our renowned Black psychologists has described, Dr. Naeem Akbar, things like what he refers to as alien self disorder, our inability to function in a way that promotes our survival, an anti-self disorder, where he talks about overt and covert hostility that we direct against ourselves or against those that are members of our groups, and things like self-destructive disorder, again, engaging in behaviors that are destructive to ourselves or to our community are some of the examples of that. Just feelings of aversion to members of our own group and to some of the physical characteristics, for example, that we might exhibit might be other examples of how this post-traumatic stress disorder manifests itself.
How do you address the stigma in the Black community against seeking mental health services? Well, there's an idea that getting mental health help in any way is a white thing, like sitting on a psychiatrist's couch is not something that Black people do culturally.
Right, exactly. And I think that mental health services is not just limited to sitting on a couch. I think one of the things we have to do is we have to begin to educate those people in our community who are they may be our religious leaders, they may be our educators, they are our beauticians, they are our barbers, but we seek out help first from those people before we are willing to go to, let's say, psychologists or psychiatrists or social workers. Those are the first people that we go to. So if we begin to ensure that they also can understand the importance of good mental health and recognize when people are struggling with issues around depression or anxiety or other kinds of mental health issues, and they themselves begin to support seeking out services, then I think that it will be much easier to begin to debunk the stigma in relationship to seeking out mental health services. The other thing, I think, another thing that is happening is that we have a number of celebrities that are speaking out and talking about how the struggles that they've encountered and dealt with in their own lives and how therapy has been helpful to them. So that, I think, is also very beneficial in terms of helping to undermine this stigma in relationship to seeking out mental health services. And I would also add that it really is important for us to increase the number of Black mental health professionals. Very often people have not had the best experiences with certain people who are not of Black ancestry when they have sought out services. Associations like the Association of Black Psychologists has been very much engaged in providing education to people so that they can offer services that are culturally competent, that are what we refer to as African-centered, that reflect our values and the ways of viewing the world that African people share.
And what about access? Because if someone goes through, let's say, the first two steps, one, admitting that they have a problem, two, admitting that they need help, three, attempting to find a Black psychologist, and four, being able to afford it. Those last two points are the ones I have a question about. How do they find a Black psychologist? And four, a lot of people feel that it's just something that they can't afford. It's just beyond their budget to be able to get the proper mental health services that they need.
Right, and that is a problem. I would also just encourage people to seek out the Association of Black Psychologists. We do have some Black psychologists that are listed that we can offer referrals to. It is a challenge for people who don't have the resources to support that. And those services may be available through community mental health centers. But also I would mention that more and more there are growing numbers of supports. One of the things that the Association of Black Psychologists is doing is implementing what are referred to as emotional emancipation circles. And the emotional emancipation circles are actually an initiative that was conceptualized by the Community Healing Network, which is an organization which is working to address the myth of Black inferiority. And we have partnered with Community Healing Network to develop a curriculum focused on self-help and using what we call emotional emancipation circles, which don't have any costs associated with them. People can attend those circles without cost. One of the things that we are doing is we're offering training to lay people to implement those emotional emancipation circles in their community. And in order to increase the numbers of services that people will have access to. So the emotional emancipation circles provide safe spaces for people of African ancestry to go to begin to talk about some of these issues. And if their issues are severe enough or significant enough, then the facilitators may also refer them to a professional to seek professional services.
So is there a website?
www.abpsi.org. That's our website.
Okay, and you you had a workshop called Resiliency in the Face of Racism, citing the Maxine Waters quote, Reclaiming My Time, when she was interrupted by Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, who was really refusing to answer her question at the time. Tell me about that workshop and how you suggest that African Americans develop the mental strength in the face of microaggressions and also out-and-out death threats that Maxine Waters is dealing with right now.
The ability to have resiliency, I think, requires that you also have support. And so one of the things that we have to have in place, particularly for people who are doing this kind of work on a daily basis, and actually I should say not just for them, because people of African ancestry are constantly dealing with microaggressions, but we must have places where we can go, where we can begin to talk about the experiences that we have had, places where we can go, where we can talk about what it is that we're dealing with. We must also be connected to organizations. It was helpful to be connected to organizations that are challenging the racism, the microaggressions that we are confronting on a day-to-day basis. And we also must engage in our own self-healing. We must take time out to do those things to nourish ourselves, whether it be through relaxation, participation in various kinds of activities that we enjoy, and meditation, you know, any variety of things that give you an opportunity to kind of pull away from these kinds of day-to-day kinds of struggles and challenges that we are dealing with.
And so you're speaking about self-care.
Yes, self-care, definitely. Self-care is extremely important because, you know, and it's extremely important not just for lay people, it's extremely important for those who, particularly who are on the front line, because it's very easy to get burned out from having to deal with these things on a day-to-day basis. So we have to take care of ourselves if we're going to take care of other people.
And when it comes to the convention, how well would you say the convention was attended? This last one that you had in Oakland?
Yes, extremely well attended, and we got very positive feedback. Now, as I don't know if I mentioned it, but we had over 632 attendees, a number of different workshops and plenaries that people were able to attend. They were all very well attended.
Who were your sponsors for this convention?
We have actually a number of different sponsors. Alameda County Behavioral Healthcare Center. Sage Publications is another one. California Endowment, Alliant International University, Saybrook University, Skyline College, Community Mental Health Center, Kaiser Permanente, California Endowment. Those were some of the sponsors.
And what are some of the challenged is the collective challenges of Black psychologists in serving the African American community in particular?
I think that first, we don't have enough. We have insufficient numbers. One of the things that we that was done very early on was something called the 10-point plan. And it was developed by our second president of the association, Dr. Bob Williams. And essentially, the plan was working towards increasing the numbers of Black psychologists. As a result of that plan, they were able to get approximately 350 institutions across the country to agree to recruit Black graduate students in order to increase the numbers of Black psychologists. And that plan was very successful. It made a very significant difference. In fact, that is the largest numbers of black psychologists are the result of that plan that was developed by Dr. Bob Williams and the Association of Black Psychologists, as the president of the Association of Black Psychologists. We need to probably have another plan of that nature because we still only represent a fraction of the, I would say maybe up to 3% of the psychologists in this country are African American. We represent about 13% of the population here in this country. And so we cannot fulfill all of the needs of people of African ancestry. A second challenge for us is education, in the area of education. The curriculums that we are exposed to are primarily European-oriented, Eurocentrically-oriented, and they don't necessarily prepare us to work with people of African ancestry. So one of the things that the Association of Black Psychologists has done is that we have been responsible for spawning this whole discipline of African Black psychology, and we are working to credential psychologists and others who work with people of African ancestry in African-centered psychology. So that they would be better prepared to work with people of African ancestry.
And what do you think accounts for the low numbers of black psychologists?
One of the things, of course, would be the use of certain kinds of tests, like the GRE, the Graduate Record Exam. We still are relying very heavily on those kinds of measures to determine whether or not someone is admitted into graduate programs or not. A lot of the work of the Association of Black Psychologists is focused on culturally biased testing. What we found is that many of those instruments are culturally biased. They don't accurately evaluate whether or not we will or will not be successful. But we're still relying a lot on certain kinds of measures. As I said, the Graduate Record Exam is one of those that we are relying a lot on, and so that results in a lot of our students who might be successful not being able to get into those programs. We also have a dearth of black professors in many of these institutions, and so students who get into the institution may not have the support that they need to sustain them and to actually complete their doctoral work.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, again, the Association of Black Psychologists was very excited about the fact that we have completed 50 years, and we're looking forward to our next 50 years. We are working to increase our visibility in our communities. We are working to make the mental health services that are competent and are actually addressing the needs of black people more available, address those things that negatively affect the mental health and the well-being of people of African ancestry.
Dr. Huberta Jackson-Lohman, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for the opportunity.